Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Hey guys, just before we start, just to let you know, there are a few minor technical sound issues that happen in this podcast. It kind of goes in and out a little bit during, not that much. It doesn't ruin the whole experience, I hope. And it does die off in the last 40 minutes or so. There are no issues from there. So I apologize for that in advance. Thank you for listening, and we hope you enjoy the show.
Red hot comic book movie news, shooting up your butthole.
Hello everyone and welcome to another episode of the Weekly Planet, official podcast of comicbookmovie.com. My name is James, with me is Nick Mason, Mr. Mace.
Hello listeners, it's good to be here.
What's news with you, Mason?
I'm caught up on Arrow. Are you caught up on Arrow?
I'm caught up on Arrow.
It's a good show.
It is a good show.
I'm finally caught up on some sort of pop culture. I did it guys, I got to the end of something.
It only took you however many weeks, that shows me. How many?
I did like 16 episodes in a day, like quite recently.
Jesus. So
it's pretty good. I do think though, like I've been enjoying it.
Yeah.
But they've clearly set up there's going to be superpowers in this season. They've set up like the miracle drug, and they've set up, you know, the particle accelerator's gone off, and so clearly Barry Allen's going to be the Flash, and there's going to be more kind of super freaks in Central City or whatever.
Are you excited for the Flash pilot?
Yes.
Yeah.
I think what has happened is they've gone, okay, we got the market research back from 2011, and it turned out that people found that the least interesting part of the Avengers was the guy with the arrows. So we've really miscalculated here. We could have been doing anything and it would have been better. So.
He's great though. I do reckon he's a good character.
He is, yeah.
In the comics and the show, obviously. Mm. But yeah, I've been reading some of his, there's a run his current run is really, really good.
There you go.
I'm a few behind, but yeah, check it out or don't.
You're a few behind. Look at you. I'm way caught up.
No, I mean, I'm the comic.
Yeah, okay, right.
Mm-hmm. I'm up on the show.
All right, fine.
You.
Do you have news?
I've got movie news.
Mm, do you have personal news, though?
Nah.
Mm.
I don't have anything.
No, okay, fine. That's
sorry. Yeah. I should have thought of something before, but Australia Day's coming up.
Okay.
So, you know, that's good, I guess.
Not news.
Oh, yeah. Barbecues.
Okay, that is news.
Racism.
Yep. Okay, good,
it's
great.
Australia Day.
Yep.
Barbecues and racism. Mm-hmm. Did you watch the Golden Globes?
No.
Me neither.
Who won? Who took away the
Dunno.
Big... Okay, good.
Just thought I'd bring it up.
Fantastic.
Moving on.
Just in case I had a huge run on... huge round. They got really angry about the Golden Globes.
Yeah, that's it. Exactly. Yeah.
What were you saying? Somebody sent in an email.
Yes.
That apparently...
And that was an email, it was a comment that about you that says every four episodes you flip out over something.
Uh-huh. Something so inconsequential.
Something inconsequential. 4, 8, 12, and last week was 16.
And I missed it.
You didn't flip out 16.
Well, do you think I should... You know, tell you what, throughout the episode, I don't feel particularly inclined to flip out.
You seem pretty calm.
But I think what I'll do is I'll attempt to force one by the end of the episode.
Okay, cool.
But like a doubly bad one. Just to make up for it.
Absolutely. Yeah. Good, good. You know, you probably can't see this, but there's the car parked outside.
Mm-hmm.
The light reflection is shining right in my face, and I'm going to close the curtain.
Should we switch seats and I'll become increasingly enraged throughout the episode?
That's not a bad idea. I'm going to edit this out, me getting up and closing the curtain.
Fantastic.
I'm not.
No. What a disaster. From beginning to end.
That's better. It's much darker in here on this beautiful sunny day.
More dank.
Yeah.
Good.
All right. Now there is some very brief Shia LaBeouf news.
Why?
I don't know. It's very brief.
Okay.
There's video of him online. This is all I'm going to say. where they say that Shia LaBeouf headbutts a guy in London for making fun of his girlfriend's mother or saying something, but it's not really
Fly to London specifically and headbutt the guy?
He may have.
Because I'm impressed by that, if that's the case.
But basically, it's not really a headbutt, though. It's just a nudge. He just kind of, like, nuzzles him with his head.
Oh, so it's more a case the guy's bigger than him. And he just
the guy was, like, sitting down and kind of, it looked like he was kind of ignoring him. It's a weird
So it's
video.
Kind of a Homer Simpson.
Yeah, kind of it's kind of like
headbutt
that.
Headbutt nudge some guy. Yeah. Some guy, yeah.
So, you know.
It's a Stampy situation.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Check it out or don't. Mm. It's not that interesting.
No.
Golden Globes, though.
Oh, yeah.
No,
okay.
I'm not doing
okay.
that. Okay. I've got Avatar news. Now, you loved Avatar, didn't you?
Nope. Ambivalent.
Did you see it at the cinema?
Yep.
Well, of course, everybody
Ambivalent.
Did. Yeah. I saw it twice.
3D gave me a headache.
Yeah. did you... I remember I just got back from overseas and I was super jet lagged. And the next day I went, I'm going to go see Avatar.
Uh-huh.
And I did, and I didn't enjoy it. I didn't hate it, but I'm like, I'm not really into this. I'm like, I must be tired.
Because
I nearly fell asleep as well.
And you've had some sleep since then. What are your thoughts?
I've had some sleep. So I went back and saw it a couple of days later, fully refreshed, and like 10 minutes in, I'm like, I've made a massive mistake. This is a really long movie.
See, that's how James Cameron makes all his money. That's how he affords his own personal submarine.
Yeah.
Jet-lagged people seeing his movie once, recovering, and then seeing it again.
Exactly, yeah. Mm-hmm. So there you go.
So but... without people like you, no T-1000, no submarine.
Oh, man. Mm. I don't want that.
No.
Yeah.
No sex in a car for Leo.
The good news is James Cameron's next three films are Avatar sequels. I don't know if you're aware of that.
Fantastic.
That's been confirmed before, but it was also confirmed that Zoe Saldana and Sam Worthington, Australia's own, have signed on for those three films. They're going to be coming out 2016, 17, 18 in December of those years.
Film back to back?
Yes.
Mm, right.
And side to side.
Ooh.
But, I mean, it's a good position, the December, because that's where the Lord of the Rings made all its money. That's why Avatar, I believe, made as much money as it did. First of all, because it was the first massive 3D kind of thing. Kicked off that whole clusterfuck that is 3D.
Uh-huh, yep.
And you've got not a lot of competition, because I remember around that time, the other big movie was Sherlock Holmes, the first one, which is an okay movie.
Yeah.
But Sherlock Holmes did well, but Avatar had that... huge run, and like it's like an open field to run in, and people go back.
And it's a different demographic too. And historical kind of romp kind of action films never really do well.
No.
Like Sherlock Holmes, The Shadow, The Phantom, none of those.
But Sherlock Holmes got that sequel.
Yeah,
Sherlock Holmes, A Game of Shadows! Did you see those movies?
I saw the first one and some of the second one.
Yeah. Second one's better, but they're not a patch on the show.
Yeah.
Yeah. Guy Ritchie, you know?
Yeah, I get it.
Mm. Mm. Guy Ritchie fan?
Lock, Snatch.
Swept Away?
No. With Madonna? No.
Rock and Roller?
Didn't see it.
Paycheck?
That was a Ben Affleck film,
yes,
so no.
And he didn't direct it.
He didn't direct it, yes. I didn't see Revolver either. Apparently that's nonsense.
Yeah, I've heard. Because that got delayed for a very long time.
Yeah, well, they attempted to make it a workable film with an actual plot. But no, I didn't see it.
Didn't happen.
Rock and Roller. Yep.
Yeah. Oh, there you go.
Yep.
Johnny Depp.
Yes.
I like to refer to him as John Depp.
Yep.
Or Jonathan
Depp.
J. Depp.
Yep.
It's a weird of his name.
Is Johnny D. Old Johnny D. Could be anyone.
Do you reckon his real name is John Depp? Like his parents named him
like
John?
Like Jonathan Depp.
Like John. John. Get your school bag, John.
Yeah, Jonathan Depp.
Good, yeah.
Yep.
Apparently, that he has been approached for Doctor Strange. Uh-huh. Right? Can you see him as Doctor Strange?
I can see him as that, but...
he's not whimsical enough.
Doctor Strange or Johnny Depp.
No, Doctor Strange is not whimsical enough for Johnny Depp. That's how it works.
It's actually, yeah. See, I feel they're going to attempt to Jack Sparrow the character.
Yeah.
Because that's all he is now, surely.
Yeah.
Like, all his box office draw is Jack Sparrow.
Yeah.
Like, if you just take short-haired, what is it, Nick of Time, Johnny Depp.
Good
that's,
call, yeah.
That's the least Jack Sparrow Johnny Depp I can think of. And you just give him grey at the temples and a mustache, he would look pretty Doctor Strange. But I think they're going to try and give him dreads and rings and tattoos and all that sort of stuff. Yeah.
And a funny walk?
Maybe like a skippy kind of a hoppy walk.
Yeah.
No, definitely. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. He'd be up there with Robert Downey Jr. in terms of the money that I'd probably have to pay him.
Uh-huh.
But because Disney owned Pirates
and
Disney obviously owned Marvel, so I wouldn't put it past them to put him in.
Isn't it weird that... Johnny Depp and Robert Downey Jr. JD. Johnny Depp Salinger.
Yes.
That's where he got the name. That they've become such huge box office draws when, like, 10 years ago, they were just doing, like...
middling.
Very middling kind of drama kind of...
Yeah.
Not even any... just
Johnny Depp was in Chocolat.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And now he's... running on the back of a big stone wheel or something, you know? Being chased by the natives?
Yeah. Mm. I don't know what that is.
Yeah.
Jack Sparrow, eh?
Yeah.
Well, you know, because Iron Man is kind of Robert Downey Jr.'s thing.
Yep.
I saw a very interesting comment about Iron Man.
But it better be very interesting.
It's so interesting. Uh-huh. I can't remember who said it, so I apologize to the person on a comic book movie who said this. It
might have been me.
It probably was.
Get ready for a big apology if it's me.
That he doesn't really play the character Iron Man, Tony Stark, because Tony Stark in the comics is very different from...
That's true, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He's kind of more stoic and, like, he's the drunk and whatever, but he's not kind of a wacky...
He's not
smart.
Loving being the drunk, no. Ultimately.
He's not a wacky kind of smart-ass guy,
uh-huh.
Which is true, I think.
Yeah.
But that's interesting, don't you think?
That's true. I'm not sure where the wacky party character came from, but apparently, like, in terms of, like, being a visionary and being, like, a technological kind of future seer or what have you... That part of the character is based on Elon Musk, who's the guy who created PayPal.
Right.
Who then sold PayPal for like $2 billion, and now he makes space rockets.
That's everyone's dream.
And maybe he invented the Tesla, the electric car?
Really?
This guy's got a lot behind him.
Huh.
Yeah.
And he's based on that?
He's based on Elon Musk, yeah, that guy.
Yeah,
in fact, he appears
that.
In Iron Man 2.
Really?
Yeah, when they go to Monaco.
Yeah.
And Tony Stark and Pepper... go into, there's like a restaurant.
Oh, yeah.
And there's a guy stands up and he's like, "Ooh, Mr. Stark, I'm thinking about making an electric jet. Ooh." That's Elon Musk.
Ah,
he doesn't actually talk like that. I've just given him a weird British voice. "Ooh, hello. Ooh, Mr. Stark. Ooh."
Well, there you go.
Yeah.
And he's acting.
Yeah.
Guy's got it all, man.
One line.
Yeah.
That's all he's got in him.
Apparently the Johnny Depp thing is not true, though he was approached. That's the idea. Did I say that earlier?
No.
I don't know. Well, now I'm saying it. Another source is saying, another rumor is that John Hamm is a lock for the role.
Of Doctor Strange?
Yeah.
I can say that.
Me too. I like John Hamm. Uh-huh. John Hamm hasn't done a really big, big movie role yet. Like, he's obviously in movies and whatever. He's in The Town and various other bits and pieces. He's in The A-Team at the end.
Oh, yep. Okay.
That movie got so crap.
Yeah.
Especially towards the end when they're moving the...
When it became a shell game of shipping containers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Bloody hell.
Because surely, if you were the villain, you wouldn't go, "Oh no, what have they done?" You'd go, "Oh, that really slow-moving shipping container. That's the one I'm looking for. Oh, they've moved it over there." I'm not an idiot, so I can still see they've moved it over there.
You know what I loved about that movie as well? The guy who plays Mr. T, I don't know what that character's name is in the show.
B.A. Baracus.
B.A. Baracus. He's like, "I don't want
to..." Bad attitude, Baracus.
He doesn't want to... Is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah. He doesn't... He's like, "I don't want to kill anyone.
It's probably Brian Baracus.
It probably is. Brian Aaron Baracus.
Yeah.
He's like, "I don't want to kill anyone. I'm not down with this. I'm scared of killing someone." And at the end, he gets over his fear of killing someone by running and grabbing a guy and dropping him on his neck. And he's like, "I've done it. I'm back. I've killed someone.
Oh, I've made it through. I've made it through the darkness and I've found it to the light." Do you remember that movie? It was called Welcome to the Jungle over here.
Yeah, I love it.
In America, it was The Rundown.
Yeah.
Where The Rock, he's a former... tough guy turned good.
Yeah.
And he refuses to use guns.
Yeah.
Because bad things happen when he uses guns.
Yeah.
And then people can't get him to use guns. And then his friends get into a sticky situation at the end. And then he uses all the guns.
And it's amazing.
And it works out great for everyone.
Yeah.
What was he worried about?
I know.
He just killed all those people.
Should have used guns
great.
The whole time. That's a great movie.
It is, yeah.
Very underrated action movie. Actually talking about a sequel to that as well.
Ooh.
Yeah, because I think it's one of those ones that's kind of slow burned over time.
That's true.
Because I remember when that movie came out early 2000, I was like, if this is what all the action movies are going to be like from now on, awesome.
Absolutely.
But it hasn't been like that.
Yeah, yeah.
They've all been Bourne Identity-esque
and Expendables. Yeah.
And Expendables, yeah.
And also, what's The Rock and Sean William Scott and Rosario Dawson done lately? So they're up for a sequel.
The Rock's done quite a lot of
shut
things.
Up. Oh, he's in Fast and Furious. He's in the highest grossing action.
You're bringing The Rock in if you want to revamp your franchise.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
The Journey to the Center of the Earth movies, mm-hmm. G.I. Joe, various other bits and pieces, mm-hmm. probably Justice League. Just quickly, do you reckon John Hamm would make a good superior? No, Mark Millar.
Oh, yeah,
superior?
Okay. I don't think he's big enough. I think he's too old, probably.
But Superior in that, I know the actor who plays Superior in the comic is over 50.
Oh, okay. Yeah, you're right.
So
I kind of feel that character couldn't really exist. Like, there's no combination of this sort of idealized superhero character.
Yeah.
Plus, he's also an over-the-hill kind of actor. Maybe if you CGI'd... Okay, tell you what, it would work if John Hamm, the actor, portrayed the actor... And also, then when he was superior, they kind of CGI'd him to look kind of more...
Comic booky.
More comic booky, more kind of glossy, more kind of...
Yeah.
Kind of, yeah.
Okay, fair enough.
Yeah.
Done.
What I'm saying is hogwash. What you're saying is hogwash, mate.
Okay, without CGI.
Yeah, exactly.
All movies are hogwash without CGI.
That's probably true at this point, yeah.
Jamie Alexander.
Yep.
She's Sif.
I know who she is.
I'm just letting the audience...
Primarily from the other episodes of this podcast we've done. I wouldn't have known otherwise. But you keep bloody banging on about it. So now I know. What's your point?
That's it. I wanted to see if you knew who she was.
Oh, okay, good.
No, she'll appear in episode 15 of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Ooh.
So, which,
for the 10 people who are still watching it.
Yeah, that's it. Mm. Well, the president of ABC, Paul Lee, said that...
Paulie,
yep.
Yeah.
That there's a few things coming up, namely that they're going to identify the clairvoyant.
Okay,
who's,
yeah.
You know, the main overall villain. You've stopped watching it, haven't you?
Yes.
Yeah. So... yeah, and
if it turns out the clairvoyant is Madame Web, I'm back on board. But it won't be.
I reckon they're going to make it a big Marvel, not big, but a bigish Marvel villain.
Give me an example.
I just read one on Comic Book Movie just today. It's a user created article, and I apologize to the person because I don't remember who it was.
What if it was me?
But it was the leader. I think it was the leader.
Okay. Yep. All right.
Yeah. Hmm? But there you go. So look,
he's not really a clairvoyant though,
isn't he?
Nah.
Maybe it wasn't the leader. Maybe
he's got a big
head.
He's got a big
green
head.
Yeah, it is him. Big green head. Yeah. Yeah. Well, there you go.
Uh-huh.
Who knows? What can the leader do?
He's just real smart.
Cool. Like us.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. No, he's like the Hulk, but intellectual.
Okay.
Gamma exposure.
That's right.
Real smart.
He's going to be the end of, he's at the end of The Incredible Hulk.
Yes.
Or he gets the thing, the radiation.
The radiation, sure.
Dripped on his head.
Yeah. Okay, yeah.
But, I didn't know this, but they're still filming Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. So they're currently filming Agents of...
Oh, as they go, right.
Yeah, so they're currently filming episode 15. I think they're up to 12 or 13 at the moment. I can't remember. But it feels like now that after the backlash of the first 9 episodes, people are like, where are all the Marvel characters?
Yes,
and
exactly.
Now they've slowed. They're like, last week...
Why are we just dealing with artifacts?
Yeah, exactly. Last week they had a villain guy, I can't remember what his name is, a Freeze Kid who could freeze.
Freeze Kid, sure.
His name is not Freeze Kid. He's not a kid of the comic. Mm-hmm. So, I can't remember his name. But, yeah, so they're slowly bringing more and more in. They've got...
more D-list.
They've got Bill Paxton as a...
Oh, that famous Marvel character, Bill Paxton.
Yeah. Again, I can't remember who Bill Paxton's playing, but he's a famous S.H.I.E.L.D. agent.
Okay.
In it. So, yeah. And I think Lady Sif is the first... Well, you had your Samuel L. Jackson or whatever,
yep.
But the first kind of super-powered movie character that they've brought in.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. That I'm aware of.
That's going to shift, like, the power dynamic, though, surely.
Yeah.
I mean, Sif's basically... All the Asgardians are basically indestructible.
Yeah.
And the villains they fight in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. are just, like, computer hackers or whatever.
So sometimes they're strong guys, though.
I mean, sometimes they're kind of strong guys. You're right.
Now, he also said that Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is designed to appeal to a wider audience as possible.
Is. Yeah.
Obviously. Mm-hmm. And I'm assuming if this Agent Carter show gets off the ground, it will be the same. The Peggy Carter show.
Yep.
But, apparently, though, the Netflix series, you know, the Daredevil, Iron Fist, the other ones that they're doing.
Luke Cage, sure,
Luke Cage
yeah.
And
Defenders?
Jessica Jones?
Yes.
Yeah, and the Defenders. Apparently, they're more for the hardcore fans of the show.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right.
But I think if you put some balls into something and you make it interesting...
Like a popcorn box.
Like a popcorn box.
Like a hole in a toilet wall, sure.
Yeah, but it's proven, though, like, shows like the most popular shows, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or the critically renowned, like your Breaking Bad, your Game of Thrones, and your whatevers.
Uh-huh.
Those shows have substance behind them and guts, and they take risks and they do terrible things.
Uh-huh.
And they're successful for that.
Hmm.
So I don't understand why people don't more follow that formula. I mean, I know they're trying to make it appeal to kids, but what kid is watching Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.?
I don't know.
Agents
but I mean,
of S.H.I.E.L.D.
people don't watch network TV to be like... gripped and kind of, well, maybe they, but I mean, just kind of,
yeah,
they watch network TV because it's kind of, you go home and you eat your dinner and you watch network TV,
yeah,
and it doesn't surprise you in any way.
I guess that's
not
true.
I mean, you know, they're kind of fun in their own way,
yeah.
If I had more time in the week, I'd watch Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., but I don't,
and you never will.
I never will.
So, our recap episode will basically be me talking about Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and you going, that first 9 episodes were crap,
and then. For the rest of it, yeah.
We are going to do one as well.
Great.
You better believe it. We'll
I'm
do that
on board.
In Arrow, yeah.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify.
Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
You've probably heard this, or maybe you've even experienced it. A business gets to a certain size, and then the cracks start to emerge. Things that used to take like a day are now taking a week. There's too many manual processes just grinding away, and you don't have that one source of truth. If this is you, you should know these three numbers. 37,000, 25, 1. 37,000. That's the number of businesses which have upgraded to NetSuite by Oracle. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, streamlining accounting, financial management, inventory, HR, and a whole lot more. 25. NetSuite turns 25 this year. That's 25 years of helping businesses do more with less, close their books in days, not weeks, and drive down costs. 1. Because your business is one of a kind, so you get a customized solution for all of your KPIs, key performance indicators, in one efficient system with one source of truth. Manage risk, get reliable forecasts, and improve margins. Everything you need to grow, all in one place. NetSuite allows you to have the power of all the information in one place to help you make more effective decisions as quickly as possible, so you can keep moving, keep building, keep growing, or have more time off, whatever it is that you're looking to do. Right now, download NetSuite's popular KPI checklist designed to give you consistently excellent performance, absolutely free, at netsuite.com/weeklyplanet. That's netsuite.com/weeklyplanet to get your own KPI checklist. netsuite.com/weeklyplanet. When picking a commerce platform for your business, you got two choices. Oh, this piece of shit, mother or sales. I definitely prefer, don't you? Because that's a sound you'll hear when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that's supercharging your selling wherever you sell, online, in person, on social media, and beyond. Shopify is the best all-in-one commerce platform capable of handling your business's complexity no matter how big you grow. Step up to Shopify and harness the best converting checkout and the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. For example, Ruggable, Nyx, Magnolia, Cotton, and so many more. Now you're probably thinking, sure, but migrating is going to be a headache. The Shopify App Store has the migration apps that you need to migrate your products, orders, customers, and more from every e-commerce platform to Shopify. And maybe you're one of those people who are like, hey, don't put me in a box. I don't want to be in this box, either metaphorically or for real. Thankfully, Shopify never will, because with Shopify, you can control your brand and business from your storefront look to your back office operations. And you know what's really annoying when you're checking out from an online store and you have to put in all your payment details and all sorts of numbers and letters and whatnot? Well, with the Shopify store, they actually remember my shipping address or your shipping address if you were using yours, plus the payment information. So say if I'm on the couch and my wallet is in the kitchen, I didn't even have to get up, which is my favorite thing. Stop leaving sales on the table, switch your business to Shopify, and discover why millions trust Shopify as their all-in-one commerce platform to build, grow, and run their business. So sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/weeklyplanet, all lowercase. That's 1 month for just $1 at shopify.com/weeklyplanet. shopify.com/weeklyplanet. Cha-ching sound effect. Have you ever been in a situation where you need to search something on the internet, but it's kind of embarrassing, and you don't want people to ever find out what you're searching for? It might be like a medical thing or a personal thing or whatever. I don't know what you're up to. I don't know what you're up to. And you might be thinking to yourself, look, I can just go into incognito mode. But let me tell you something. Incognito mode does not hide your activity. It doesn't matter what mode you use or how many times you clear your browser history, your internet service provider can see every single website you've ever visited. That's why, even when I'm at home, I never go online without ExpressVPN. ExpressVPN is an app that reroutes your internet connection through secure servers so your ISP can't see the sites you visit. ExpressVPN also keeps all your information secure by encrypting 100% of your data with the most powerful encryption available. Now, most of the time, I don't even realize I have ExpressVPN on because it runs seamlessly in the background and it's so easy to use. All you have to do is tap one button and you're protected. ExpressVPN is also available on all your devices. We're talking phones, computers, even your smart TV. So there's no excuse for you to not be using it. Protect your online activity today with the VPN rated number one by CNET and Mashable. Visit our exclusive link, expressvpn.com/weeklyplanet, and get an extra 3 months free on a 1 year package. That's expressvpn.com/weeklyplanet. expressvpn.com/weeklyplanet to learn more.
All right. We got Batman versus Superman news.
I think I know what this news is.
I think you do.
Right. Yeah.
Ben Affleck's out.
What?
Johnny Depp in.
Oh, great.
No.
That's not
news. It's been delayed 10 months until 2016.
10 months is a weird... That's a very odd time period, isn't
by
it?
By bringing in early May, I think it's May 6th.
Uh-huh.
I might be wrong. You kick off the summer, I guess.
Yep. Uh-huh.
So you're the first big blockbuster of 2016. 2015 is a packed year, though.
Yeah, yeah.
You've got Avengers 2, you've got Ant-Man, you've got Terminator, you've got... What else you got? There's not another Hobbit that
year. Stop or My Mom Will Shoot too.
Yeah, that's right.
Yep.
There's a stack. There's another Bond.
Yeah, okay.
So, you know, there's a Jurassic World, there's a Jurassic Park sequel.
Ooh.
And they're all going to chew into each other's profits.
That's true.
But the interesting thing is, though, they moved it to a date of an unnamed, exact date of an unnamed Marvel property that's coming out on that day. That's rumored to be, could be a Doctor Strange, could be a Black Panther, could be like another Captain America or Iron Man sequel.
Man.
He's
got a colon around his head. It's not important. Anyway, do you think that means the script is bad or that?
Well, there's a few theories behind it.
Okay.
There's a few saying that it is a mess.
Yep.
There's some saying it's because they're going to film Justice League.
It's a pot on his head. It's not a colander.
Okay.
I'm thinking of Colander Girl, which is his girlfriend.
Anyway. I didn't want to correct you.
No, sorry.
But, yeah, they're filming Justice League and Batman vs. Superman together. That's why all these cast rumors are floating through, because they're doing them at the same time.
Mm.
You know, which could very well be true.
Yeah.
It makes sense to do it that way. But, you know, the thing people have been saying is that it's too long between DC movies. Because when that eventually comes out in 2016, that's 3 years between DC movies. And Marvel are pumping out two a year.
Two a year, exactly. Yeah.
But the thing, I guess... Which
and
is,
mini-episodes.
And minisodes.
One-shots.
Exactly. But the thing is, though...
Episodes of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah.
They've got all the avenues covered.
So many avenues. But, what was I saying?
Agent Coulson audiobooks. Agent Jake Chisel audiobooks. Just him getting his dry cleaning.
Yeah. What was I saying? I can't remember. Yeah, but the thing is, people are saying, what are Warner Brothers doing with the properties? They're idiots. They're losing money and whatever. Which I guess may be true. But people seem to forget that Marvel only make Marvel movies.
Uh-huh.
So... there's two Marvel movies a year. That's all that Marvel make.
Uh-huh.
Warner Brothers
yep.
make a lot of different franchises and a lot of different movies. I've listed some here, some franchises that are popular that they do make money on.
I'm listening.
So you've got your Godzilla.
Okay, which they might out. Make money out of.
Oh, they'll make money.
Mm.
300. Sherlock Holmes.
Yeah.
Harry Potter.
Are they doing another Sherlock Holmes film?
No, but they could.
Oh, right.
Harry Potter.
That's done, right?
No, but they're doing Harry Potter spin-off movies.
Ugh.
Yeah. Nightmare...
Based on what?
I don't know.
Okay, great.
No, the J.K. Rowling.
All these are very up in the air. You're just naming things.
Nightmare on Elm Street.
No.
All the Christopher Nolan productions, most of it. Inception, Prestige, Interstellar.
Okay.
Watchmen. They could do Watchmen prequels with the After Watchmen or Next Watchmen. Remember the comic?
Watchmen Babies, yeah.
No, you know, what's that comic called?
Before Watchmen.
Before Watchmen.
Because it was set before Watchmen.
That's right. Yeah. That makes sense. I didn't read any of those.
They were okay.
They also, you know, distribute, they don't make, but they distribute The Hobbit, Speed Racer.
They don't distribute Speed Racer.
No, they make Speed Racer.
They don't make Speed
Racer. They made Speed
they
Racer.
They made it.
Yeah.
There's not resources being tied up at Warner Brothers by a guy who's currently distributing Speed Racer.
The Matrix films.
What are you even talking about?
Pokemon?
No.
Osmosis Jones?
No, what?
That one with the Chris Rocket, he's in the
Not
human body.
Not making any sequels.
Swordfish? They made Swordfish?
Oh, yeah. Good point.
The point is, they do make other movies.
Yeah, but that's true. But you could also say that about Paramount.
Yeah.
Don't they...
But Paramount and Marvel aren't together anymore, though. Because it's Disney and Marvel.
Oh, yeah.
So you could, but Disney do make other things.
That's what
yes.
I'm talking about.
Yeah, so there you go.
You're an idiot.
I am an idiot. But in many ways, I'm not an idiot. And I'll tell you why.
Okay. This will be your grandest feat of all.
Idiot. This is unrelated.
Okay.
Remember NailBiter111 from last week on Twitter?
Yes.
He writes for Comic Book Movie. He's got a source at DC.
Yep.
Warner
Did
Brothers.
Did he get fired?
Yeah, he got fired.
Well,
yeah, this is the last piece of news. Some people will doubt this is true. Nailbiter swears it is. Even another comic book movie writer said on Twitter to me, "Is like, it's bullshit, it's not true.
Huh.
Why do you believe it?"
Do you think those guys hate each other?
They
think they're arch-rivals?
Do, yeah.
Do you think they're the Jordan versus Bird of comic book movie Twitter accounts?
Well,
I think so.
Well, when I signed up for Comic Book Movie, was it Jim Little, the guy who runs it? He's a good guy. He goes by Galactus on the website.
Uh-huh.
He's like... one of the rules is just don't fight with each other, because apparently a lot of the editors used to fight with each other.
Uh-huh.
And I'm like, who the fuck am I going to fight with?
Yeah, yeah.
What am I going to argue about something
like down at the soda shop?
Yeah,
like somebody like a dame like ties their wrists together with a piece of like a scarf, and then they knife fight in a car park.
But apparently it happens enough where
there has to be a rule. Yeah.
So you know, there you go.
It's the don't stick your head in this microwave.
Yeah,
of rules.
Exactly.
Sure.
Look, I don't think these guys probably fight. Nailbiter is not really the kind of fight.
Anyway, what's the actual news?
Anyway, sorry. It is the delay apparently is multifaceted. One of them being budgetary.
Okay.
Because they're not sure whether to put things in like Wonder Woman's Island.
Okay.
Which is called?
Themyscira.
Yeah, we looked that up before.
We did look it up before, yeah. I had some inside scoop on this.
You sure did. So they're not sure whether to just mention that or include it, because that's a big part of it, obviously,
uh-huh.
if they were to make that or even CGI it. Now, apparently the back-to-back...
Also, how sexy to make that island.
Yeah.
Like, it's a fine line. Because if it's just hot Amazonian women just hanging out, that's a little weird, right?
Or really cool.
Or really cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah.
No, you're right. Back-to-back films apparently being considered, but there's no official word at this time.
Okay.
If this is true, it seems like they're all over the place on their thoughts on this, like where they're going with this, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
They seem confused. Now, a big component that Warner Brother want to use to dethrone Marvel apparently,
uh-huh.
is to, instead of having a post-credit scene,
yes.
to have every movie end with a cliffhanger.
Hmm. Who said this?
That
this is the rumor.
This is the rumor. This is the supposed inside source, courtesy of Nailbiter, who's a good dude. I like him.
Okay. I would still stick around for the post-credit sequence, though. I would expect it for a...
But DC don't do that.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't just start doing it as well, either, because then you're clearly just copying Marvel.
Right, right, right.
I think Marvel have really worked out the formula. Regardless of what you think of those movies, they've set them up so well that they're all intertwined and they all kind of follow on, but not in a... Like, the movie completely finishes, but can you imagine though every movie ends with a cliffhanger though? That's not good, is it?
Because
then you just—it's just a series of movies that don't finish.
Yeah, that's actually a really good.
It's
point.
Just like it's like a long-running soap opera.
Yeah, yeah.
There's no conclusion.
Also,
there.
And what's probably going to happen is that because they're so long between films.
Yeah.
What is going to happen is that the management is going to switch in between, say, the end of Batman vs Superman and the start of whatever, you know, the Ambush Bug film or whatever. And then it's going to be like, how do we get out of this one? This is this situation. There's no way out of it. And then the management will switch. And they'll go, just flip a switch, whatever. And then you'll get to the start of the next movie and the drama will end in 2 seconds. And it'll be a completely different film. And I think people will be like, wow, we really got ripped off with this one.
Yeah. Well, it's like the Aliens 3 thing where they spend the whole movie Aliens saving the little girl and Hicks and whatever.
And then she's killed in the spaceship crash
right
at the start. Yeah,
yeah, like before the movie even
starts.
Completely nullifying the previous movie.
Yeah, yeah.
Great CGI alien in that, though.
No, it's the worst
one. Yeah, it's the worst. You know, it's not actually CGI, it's a puppet on green screen.
I'm very well aware that it's a puppet on green screen, because you can see the green edge around it.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know if the budget ran out, and if the budget was all spent on, like head shaving or whatever for that film. But...
Well, they did pay her a lot of money to shave her head.
Okay.
Do you remember once I made a bet with you that Bill Murray was married to Sigourney Weaver?
Nope. I don't remember that.
And I was wrong.
Oh, okay. I do remember that, because I was right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. This second part, this other part here, makes more sense and I think would be better. They also are considering doing short films that will play at the end of each film starring lesser-known characters.
Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting.
That sounds better, I think.
Yeah, okay.
Everybody's trying to... I've said this before. You can't just Empire Strikes Back everything.
Yeah.
It doesn't fucking work.
Yeah.
What good cliffhanger movies are there? There's one.
Cliffhanger. With Sylvester Stallone. And what's his face from Third Rock from the Sun? What's that guy's name?
Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
No,
the guy, I know the guy you mean, John Lithgow.
Oh!
Yeah, John Lithgow. Yeah, that is John Lithgow.
That's the one-syllable John Lithgow impression.
Yeah.
Oh!
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
Like, there's very, like, maybe the first Back to the Future.
Yep.
I guess maybe the second one to an extent. The middle Star Wars, that's probably it.
Yep.
I mean, I'm sure there are other examples, but you can't rely on that.
No.
It's a terrible hook.
And I think it upsets the
general... It's the Da Vinci Code of movies. Because the Da Vinci Code, if you've read it, which, by the way, is a terrible book.
Uh-huh.
And the only reason people love that book is because most people don't read, and then they're like, you should read this book, and they read it and they go, oh, this is great. Because you've never read a book, and you don't know what a good book is, because every chapter ends with a cliffhanger.
Uh-huh, yeah.
And that, they're like, I couldn't stop reading it. It's like, because you're tricked.
Is it? I think I've read a little bit. It's one of the ones where, like... And then Professor Langdon sat down in his chair, unaware of what was going to unfold very soon. It's kind of like that.
Exactly,
isn't it?
Yeah, like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not going to work.
Don't do it.
No. Okay, I would like to see some lesser known characters.
Yep.
But as long as, I don't know, are they going to put the requisite care and attention into these characters? How long are these short films going to be? Like 5 minutes?
Yeah, I guess.
Are they going to be like, see, again, it's like the Marvel one-shots.
Yeah, well, that's right, exactly.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
But I think that would be a cool thing to hang around for at the end of a movie.
Okay,
even have them at the start. You remember they used to have, like, cartoons at the start of movies and that?
I was just thinking that.
Yeah.
Who framed Roger Rabbit?
Who did frame him?
Judge Doom.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
That movie
framed him. Oh! That's my Judge Doom impression as well.
All right. Judi Dench news.
Ooh! Finally.
I know, right?
Yep.
You saw Philomena.
Did I ever?
Yeah.
You know what happens at the end of that?
Don't tell me.
Well, after the end of the credits, Nick Fury shows up. And they invite her to join the Avengers.
And she does?
Yeah.
What's her skill? Being a doddering old lady.
That's pretty much it.
Yeah. I love Judi.
Tells a good yarn.
Yeah, she does, doesn't
anyway,
she?
Anyway, Judi Dench news.
It said that she might be up for a role in Star Wars as Mon Mothma. Mon Mothma? You remember her?
Yeah,
from
I remember Mon Mothma.
Return of the Jedi?
Yeah, okay.
She's the only other woman in Star Wars other than Princess Leia.
Uh-huh.
The original trilogy, anyway. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That says, like, he has, like, a proper speaking role.
Mm-hmm.
I'd be good to see her back. I mean, that. A character, I
what
guess.
Does she have any characterization at all in Return of the Jedi?
Well, she's another woman in Star Wars, so that's good.
That is a bonus.
And
she's
like, you know, she's
You're forgetting the blue slave girls.
Oh, I forgot the blue slave girls.
With the big weird tentacle heads.
Yeah, I'm an idiot. And I'm sure some of those aliens are female. Chewbacca's female.
That's not true.
I know.
Ends with an A, though, so you'd be forgiven.
Ooh, yeah. Mm. That's not Chewbacca,
It's not Chewbacca.
Chewbacca.
Which is the brand of Star Wars themed chewing tobacco.
Of course it is.
Chewbacca.
Yeah. There's another rumor though. There's a whole bunch of Star Wars rumors. I'm not going to go through them because most of them are uninteresting. It's things like, oh, the movies are now going to focus on
Luke. How many lines does Mon Mothma have?
I don't know. She explains that all the Bothams died to get the information.
Oh, okay, right.
And she's like, this is what you're going to do to the Death Star, Lando. And he's like, you're goddamn
so
right.
So 10 lines, probably.
10 lines, like, yeah.
Yeah, at most.
But it says something for the progression of those movies. Where there's a woman leading the Rebel Alliance. I think it's great.
It is, yes.
Good for George Lucas.
Uh-huh.
Not sexist. People called him sexist, not sexist, racist after the first one because there was no black people in the first Star Wars.
Uh-huh.
And then the next movie, Lando Calrissian, I'm assuming, was brought in to kind of even that out.
Hmm.
And Billy Dee Williams also auditioned for Han Solo.
There you go.
Didn't get it because George Lucas is
racist.
He's
racist,
yes. Yeah. Anyway, the rumor is that... you've probably heard of the Boba Fett solo film rumor.
Yes.
I think we've talked about it before.
Probably.
Yeah. Lawrence Kasdan, the guy who wrote Empire Strikes Back, is writing that.
Mm.
Lawrence Kasdan wrote a lot of good stuff, but not
in
so much...
In the 80s.
In the 80s, exactly. That's what people are like, yes, he's back! Lawrence Kasdan wrote, and I think he might have directed Dreamcatcher.
Ugh.
Have you seen Dreamcatcher?
Which is an adaptation. He didn't even write that, really.
Yeah, well, I guess he probably... I might be wrong on that. That's not a good movie.
No. It's kind of like when... Like a really old comedian or something like that joins Twitter.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, I'm so excited. He's going to be busting out zingers like back in the old days. And then he's like, how do I work this? How do I, you know, they'll be, and they're just like responding to people, but they're not adding people. So it's just them saying, oh, I've had a really good day. How are you? You know?
Is there anyone in particular you're talking about?
I can't think of anyone right now.
Gerald Seinfeld.
Yep, that's the one.
Yeah. Cool. So basically, the rumored story is that in this Boba Fett story, to wipe out the prequel Clone Wars Boba Fett, who's a clone, they're going to have somebody kill him, steal his armor, and then lead into a kind of Man with No Name bounty hunter film.
Huh.
So Boba Fett is again not a clone of Jango Fett and all that kind of stuff.
He's a new guy.
He's
okay.
a new guy. So right. that's the guy who would appear in the original trilogy.
Interesting.
I think it's a great
idea.
I'm
in favour of that.
Yeah.
If only they could do that with every single other character. Like, there'll be a deleted scene where Anakin Skywalker, Darth Vader, is killed, and then he's replaced with another guy in the Darth Vader
just
armor.
Just whoever.
Whoever.
It doesn't
matter. Yeah.
Yeah. That would be great. Joe Johnston is rumoured to direct.
Ooh.
Now, Joe Johnston, he's directed Captain America and a bunch of other stuff. But he also designed the character of Boba Fett. And he even asked George...
Back in the day.
Huh. He asked George Lucas a couple decades ago to make... He's like, I want to make this Boba Fett film. And George Lucas is like, no. Racism.
Yep. I'm too busy fixing racism and sexism. There's no time for Boba Fett.
But yeah, that sounds pretty good to me.
Okay, I'm on board with that. Yeah,
yeah,
okay.
If it's true. There's one continuity error with that, though, that I've picked up on.
What is it?
It's easily fixed, though. In the special edition of Return Empire Strikes Back, the newest one, they went back and they took out Boba Fett's voice and they replaced it with Tamawir Morrison.
Tamawir Morrison, sure, yeah. Uh-huh.
The guy who played Jango Fett. So that's in continuity.
Ugh.
So, I mean, that's an easy fix,
yeah,
isn't
that's
it?
True, yeah.
If you just go back to the original.
I mean, they just did it then,
yeah.
So we can always just reverse it.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't we?
That's it.
He'll never stop tinkering with those films.
No,
surely.
Well, he has to now, I guess, or yeah. to an extent. Mm. Yeah. Before we go on to our next news, Mason, I just wanted to quickly thank those people who, on iTunes, we said, can you go on iTunes?
What happened there? Did you just... almost choked to death. Nothing.
Yeah, nothing, yeah.
But you know what it was? It was the emotion.
It was the emotion.
It was the genuine gratefulness. It was I've never seen him express an emotion ever.
Did so my eyes bug then?
Yeah,
they did. It felt like they did.
Yeah. Do you think that would have been the first death on a podcast if you accidentally choked to death on nothing?
So,
also, how do I explain it? I'm in a darkened room. There's nobody else here. And I call the cops and I'm like, hey, listen, my friend just choked to death on nothing.
Do you mind if I still put this online?
And they'll be like, sure, whatever. Nobody cares about podcasts, they say. It's fine.
But yeah, emotion aside, if I can do that for a minute.
If you can get through it.
A whole lot of people went on iTunes and ranked us, and a few people even wrote reviews, which was really nice.
That's very nice.
Things like, we're better than the Triple M Breakfast Podcast.
Yeah.
And, you know, and is the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. played a real plane and all this other kind of stuff that we've talked about.
I love it.
Yeah, it's really, really good. So we really appreciate that.
That's great.
The stars have they've all been like 5-star, you know.
I thought you were going to say
things.
The stars have all aligned.
They certainly
have. I'd have been
have.
Like, you, new age hippie, this, we're done, mate. But no, the stars have been great.
And aligned.
Yeah, so...
So yeah, look, we really appreciate that. And if, you know.
Because we do essentially do this in a darkened room.
That's
to
right.
To no one, so it's nice to.
Yeah, it's nice, to, it's nice it, to hear people they appreciate it. And listen. So.
He's going to choke to death again, guys.
I know, right?
He's going to choke. This is going to be great.
So yeah, we really appreciate it. If anyone else wants to do that as well, we would also
very
really,
exciting,
really appreciate
yeah,
it.
Yeah.
So yeah,
hit that subscribe
please,
button.
Please do that.
Yeah.
Next bit of news.
Yep.
We had some Judi Dench news.
Yes.
Now we got some Michael Douglas news.
Oh well.
I'm sure you've heard this.
Absolutely.
That
throat cancer from too much pussy.
Yeah. Did you heard that right?
Yeah.
That's why he said he got throat cancer.
Yeah.
That's not a thing though. Surely.
I hope not. If you know what I mean. You know what I mean? Hey. Hey.
That can't be a real thing.
No.
Though. Surely that's not a medical
so. No,
condition.
Absolutely not.
Yeah. But anyway.
That's not that news, presumably. I mean, that was months ago.
Mm. Michael Douglas, he had a very severe form of throat cancer.
Yeah, from all that pussy. Yeah,
that's right, from all the...
Also, shout out to our 14-year-old listener.
We got a guy... what's his name? I don't want to say his name because he's 14, so I don't want to put out the name of a 14-year-old on the podcast. People can find him. But
anyway, so if you're after any tips for life, straight talk for teens here, you cannot get... throat cancer from too much. Explicit tag. We can say whatever we want.
Okay, you're right. You're right.
Anyway.
His name's Blake. First name's Blake. He's a good guy.
Yep.
But anyway, thanks, Blake. Now, Michael Douglas will be playing Hank Pym in the new Ant-Man film, which means Paul Rudd is clearly Scott Lang.
Yep.
So some people are very unhappy about this. Not for the Michael Douglas casting.
Uh-huh.
If you're going to put anybody in a movie, you should put Michael Douglas in every role.
Yeah.
In everything. He's not like the kind of De Niro kind of, or Pacino, where they've just kind of lay down and died.
Exactly.
Like, Michael Douglas, I mean, full credit to him, like, I don't know if you've seen, what's the Liberace movie called?
Oh, Behind the Candelabra.
Yeah, that's a great,
great
movie.
Yeah.
He puts his all into that.
Uh-huh.
He's still an incredible performer.
Yeah.
He's not just making, like, Old Dogs with John Travolta.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Although he was in Wall Street too, but that's not
his fault. That's true, no.
He was kind of not contractually obligated, but I guess he was obligated, like...
Well, look, it's Oliver...
We're making a sequel, it's Oliver Stone.
You're not gonna... Yeah, you're gonna do it.
And, like, they were like... I'm sure they were like, listen, you have been this iconic character for 20 years.
Yeah.
Can you come back?
Yeah.
Even if it wasn't good, I'm sure you'd be like, all right, fine.
Whatever.
It's like, you know, let's let everybody work. You know, let's have the crew do the job or whatever, you know.
That's such a shit movie.
It really is, yeah.
God. Mm. Good Shia LaBeouf performance.
Oh, boy, is it ever, though. Yeah. Rides a motorcycle like nobody's business.
Josh Brolin's good, though.
Yeah.
Do you hate the idea of Michael Douglas being in...
No, it's great. So what essentially... Are they saying then that Michael Douglas was Hank Pym and he was Ant-Man in the day? In the 60s, okay.
Yeah.
Which means that somewhere in between Captain America falling into the ocean and...
Well, Iron Man.
Yeah, so...
Well, we know that the Winter Soldier was active during
that. There we go, yep, okay.
But I'm wondering if maybe they might do a series, or not maybe a series, but focus more on that era of S.H.I.E.L.D.
I would like to see that.
Because, like, you know how they did, like, X-Men First Class?
Yeah, yeah.
Something like that with, like, a bunch of superheroes in the 60s.
Because there would be very little reason for S.H.I.E.L.D. to exist between World War II and now if they weren't doing anything.
That's exactly
like, it. Why would they probably wouldn't need to build all those helicarriers and all the billions of dollars worth of technology if the Army and Navy and Air Force can just take care of it themselves.
Yeah, that's
so
it.
There must have been some sort of big threats in between. I've always, before Fantastic Four came out, it was going to be there was a rumor, or there maybe it was just wishful thinking, that the Fantastic Four movie was going to be set in the 60s and it was going to be kind of a groovy kind of 60s.
Really?
Like,
I've not heard
like
that.
Because, you know, the Fantastic Four are kind of a family, more or less. That was just going to...
The Brady Bunch of superheroes.
Yeah, the Brady Bunch of superheroes. That they were just kind of just going to drop you in the middle. Like, they were going to skip the origin story and be like, here's this kind of groovy family in the 60s. You know?
Oh, yeah.
And it was going to kind of just be a fun kind of...
Was it going to... Not like a parody, but just like a fun kind of romp.
No, it's like a fun kind of action film.
Okay,
yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
Well, it probably would have been better.
It would have been better. That's what I think about every night.
Yeah.
Anyway, I'd really like to see what happens in that intervening 40 years.
Cool,
more than 40 years.
Yeah.
There was because there actually is kind of a gap in the actual Marvel Universe.
Yeah.
Because you know, comic book timelines kind of shift a bit.
Yeah.
Or a lot in a lot of cases.
Yeah.
So, like, all the significant events of the Marvel Universe happen, they're supposed to happen, like, 10 years ago.
Yeah.
So, like, Peter Parker became Spider-Man, like, 10 years ago.
Yeah.
Fantastic Four. Cosmic Radiation 10 years ago, Iron Man 10 years ago. And then in the 40s, we had Captain America. So that gap keeps increasing.
It does,
so it's
yeah.
like, what do they put in there? And so there was a Generation Lost was kind of like this, like, attempt to fill that gap. It's great, but there's like some second string characters like Ulysses Bloodstone and all these kind of...
Ah.
And it was okay, but there's plenty of room to kind of...
Absolutely.
I would like
is.
To see... Maybe even some original characters I would like to see in that that block, like in that cinematic block. That'd
definitely,
nice. Yeah.
Yeah. I think people do get upset, though, when you take...
Also, 1970s Punisher. Let's throw him in.
Ah, definitely.
That'd be great. Yeah.
I think people do get upset, though, when they take a character and they say Hank Pym is now not going to be next to Iron Man and they're the same age.
Right, okay.
I think people get upset by changes like that. But I think it's okay.
I think it's okay, and we probably mentioned this before, but... You know, you were saying Kevin Feige had to explain for a long time that Iron Man was not a robot. He's a man in a suit.
Yeah.
I feel, because again, my favorite character growing up was Iron Man, and they did change a lot for the first Iron Man movie. Like, Obadiah Stane wasn't his business partner originally.
No.
He was a rival that came in and, like...
And then killed himself, didn't he, or something?
Yeah, he shot his own head.
It was like, yeah.
Yeah. But they tweaked a lot of things for that. I mean, obviously they changed the location from, you know, Vietnam to Afghanistan and et cetera, but because it was done so well, I'm totally okay with that.
Yeah,
you know, something like Wolverine Origins, less so. But
yeah, but it's a matter of doing it
but
right.
But I'm totally okay with. I have faith in Marvel at this point.
Yeah,
I feel like I can do whatever they want.
And I think as well they can do it because most people, and Edgar Wright said this, don't know who Hank Pym is.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
So you can really do that, and then that's going to become because he'll if this is successful, he'll become the iconic Hank Pym character.
Yeah, I also think that. If you're a fan of comic books, you're okay with like parallel dimensions and what have you. These don't have the Marvel comic book the cinematic universe doesn't have to be the same.
No,
the comic
it doesn't.
Book
of course
this
not.
Is a parallel universe.
Yeah, exactly.
It's fine. Not everything's going to play out. If somebody's like, "Well, I don't like Hank Pym because blah blah blah," just show them the comic books he's in. Just be like, read that. It's better.
It's still there.
I hate it.
They've pasted Michael Douglas's face over every page.
That's what they did with. It used to be when they'd interview Alan Moore.
Yeah.
they'd always say, like, because, you know, Alan Moore's had a really patchy sort of adaptation history.
Yeah.
Like, they'll adapt one of
super
his...
Super patchy.
Like, League of Extraordinary Gentlemen, for example. And for many years, like, they'd adapt something and they'd be like, oh, what do you think about them changing all your stories and whatever? And he'd be like, well, I haven't changed and they're right here.
Yes.
Here's Watchmen. They haven't, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
But then I think it was the point where League of Extraordinary Gentlemen came out and they're like, what do you think about people adapting your works? And they're coming out really poorly. And he's like, oh, I'm tired of this.
He's had enough.
Yeah, I've had enough of this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that's hilarious. Do you think, though, Hank Pym could now have a hand in Ultron? Ant-Man's apparently not going to appear in Age of Ultron.
Uh-huh.
But Hank Pym creates Ultron. Because one of his specialities, among other things, is AI.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
So now it could be that what Michael Douglas has worked on.
Yep.
Michael Douglas, the actor.
Yep.
leads to the creation of Ultron. So they could work that in.
Too much cunnilingus is what you're saying. Is what?
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, led to the creation of Ultron.
Yeah, that's what I figured. Yeah.
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 So what do you think of that though? They could work that in instead of just having Tony Stark do it, which is what it sounds like they're leaning towards.
What it seems to be is some sort of like Jarvis has been.
Yeah.
Gets tweaked corrupted somehow and corrupted and he
or
turns
a new
into
version
Ultron.
Of Jarvis.
Yeah,
or
yeah,
whatever.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
No, you could put it. Yeah, put Hank Pym in there. Throw him in the mix. It's
Why
fine.
Not?
But it's weird. Hank Pym's always had, like, he's a very odd genius in that he's got so many bizarre, like, it's AI and size changing technology.
Yeah.
And like anti gravity and like entomology as well.
Which one's that?
Insects.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, that makes sense. Yeah. Yeah. That is a weird mix. You're right.
Like who is an expert in all those things?
Yeah. That's it. I don't know. We'll never know.
Yeah.
Michael Douglas?
Yeah, it's Michael Douglas.
It's
exactly.
Michael
Douglas. Yeah, so perfect choice for this role.
Well, I thought maybe we could talk about Ant-Man.
Let's do it.
And I could, or we could tell the listeners and each other about the history of Ant-Man, iconic moments, characters, who's played him, villains, all that kind of thing. I've actually made a video on my YouTube channel, Mr. Sunday Movies.
Yep.
YouTube.com,
right?
.com. Yep. If you YouTube that.
What is MrSundayMovies.com?
I have no idea.
I'm going to look it up. If it's porno, continue speaking. If it's porno, I'm going to laugh in your face.
Anyway, I made a video there. It's the longest video I've ever made, about 9 or so minutes.
But God, that's too much.
I know,
too
right?
Too much for this generation.
But it takes through, like, who is Ant-Man and what he's all about.
Uh-huh.
I thought maybe we could talk a bit about that now, because you know a bit about Ant-Man, don't you?
I know enough.
That's good. I think you're the only person I know who would know anything about Ant-Man, actually. Uh-huh. Don't think about it. Other than...
Michael Douglas. Who lives next door.
Yeah.
We get him?
Nah. He's busy.
Yeah.
You know what he's doing.
Yeah, I do. Yeah.
Anyway.
This has been such a weird episode.
I know, right?
I blame you, mostly.
And now, Ant-Man, he's a legacy hero, isn't he?
Yes.
Like the Flash,
like
Green
Lantern.
Lantern,
sure.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Someone who, a family member or somebody else has taken on the mantle across the years.
Mm-hmm.
He's also a founding member of the Avengers.
Ooh.
A lot of people don't know that, but which I think was
Wait,
why...
Wait, Giant Man? Maybe.
Possibly.
Yeah, I think he was Giant Man.
I should
Man.
Know that. A few days ago, I knew that, and now I've already forgotten. I think that might have been one of the reasons why they were going to go with an Ant-Man film originally, because the Ant-Man film has been in the works since Edgar Wright came on board in 2006.
Every time you put up a video talking about Ant-Man, you have some Ant-Man footage, and it's him and he's real little, and he flies across the room and he hits a guy in the face, and etc. What's that from?
That is some test footage that Edgar Wright did.
Yep.
Everybody always asks me that, where did you get it? And I can't remember. I found it somewhere on YouTube,
and I
ripped it, and I took it,
yep.
And it's gone. Huh. So you can find it. It's somewhere.
Yeah, yeah.
But, yeah.
Is that why there's black helicopters circling above us? They're going to come and take the footage away.
I was hoping that was unrelated, but yes. Now, look, he has had a few identities as well over the years. Uh-huh. Giant Man, you mentioned.
Yep.
Goliath. There's been a few Goliaths as well.
Some are villains.
Some are villains.
Yeah.
Yellow Jacket.
Yes.
And the Wasp.
Yep.
Now, the Wasp identity he took on was because his wife, Janet Van Dyne, is that her
name? Was killed, yeah.
She was killed, yeah. Uh-huh. And he kind of did that as a tribute to her.
Oh.
So he took
Still with a leotard. The high-cut leotard.
Exactly. Yeah, now, one of the most infamous moments, though, in Ant-Man history was, I think when he was Yellow Jacket, he was designing a robot to make to then go attack the Avengers, who...
Yeah, because he fell out of favor with the Avengers.
Yeah.
Because he's a real prick.
Yeah. Because Pym particles can affect your brain.
Yeah.
Which we'll talk about in a bit. But
Pym particles. You know my thoughts on Pym
particles.
I know
your thoughts.
So dumb. The dumbest of all comic book science.
But the most infamous moment in the character's history is he's like, hey, she's like, maybe you shouldn't do this. And he just backhands her.
Yeah.
And apparently, he was suffering from a mental breakdown at the time. And I mentioned that in the video and...
Yes.
Somebody in the comments, I think, took offense, was like, that was a really important moment in Ant-Man history or whatever, and, you know, whatever. Like, I wasn't making light of it.
Yeah.
It's just something that has happened. Uh-huh. And I think that probably was a mistake to make that character do that. Especially in the 60s where there was a kind of more flippant attitude towards that. So that doesn't hold up now.
No.
Like, because it was like James Bond in the 60s used to hit women all the time.
Hit all the time. It isn't a human shield.
Yeah.
Whatever.
And it was something I think that plays more then than it does now.
Yeah.
And
plays is probably not the right word.
But... yeah, you're right. You know what I mean. Yeah, that was more acceptable.
Yeah,
I guess.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Now, they've tried to kind of fix that in a way that there's a story called Ant-Man and Wasp where he... who when he's the Wasp, when he's taken on the thing, and he set up an institute for like abused women or something like that. So I think that he's kind of like, I've had a checkered history, and you know, this is me kind of making amends and whatever.
Right,
so they've
okay.
kind of tried to bring it around,
right,
which is a good attempt, you know, I think. Yeah. But I think that's something they'd rather was not in his history.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, Reed Richards has also hit his wife though. Like, it's not
uncommon.
That's
because she didn't clean the Baxter Building correctly.
Ah,
so.
That's right.
If anything, no, that's. I apologize. Anyway, to our one female listener.
Yeah.
No, I don't know. But the ultimate Hank Pym in the ultimate universe.
Which also, I have not read.
Okay, also kind of a scoundrel.
Yeah.
No, he's a real prick, basically. why don't I try to sugarcoat that? He hit Janet as well.
Did
and
he?
Then just Captain America just beat him up.
Good.
Like very severely. Which is, you know, well deserved, I think.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, just pulped him.
Yeah, good.
Yeah.
I should read that. That's one of the ones I haven't read. Mm. Now his scientific endeavors, he's had a fair few, which I'll go through. But a lot of time people say he's done more harm than good.
Mm.
For example, he created Ultron.
That's a bad move.
Yeah.
But he's been around for... You can't get rid of.
You cannot kill Ultron, yeah. Uh-huh. And Ultron's nearly or has destroyed the world multiple times.
Right.
But Ultron also created the Vision,
okay.
as a sleeper agent.
Uh-huh.
So people say he created Ultron, which is bad, but the Vision is a byproduct of Ultron, and the Vision's one of the greatest things that's ever happened to the team, and blah, blah, blah.
Who are these people? Destroy the world versus, like...
Pretty good guy.
Pretty good guy, looks weird, kind of, sort of naked-ish.
Yeah.
Sometimes he's green and yellow, sometimes he's naked. It's not a good... Walk through walls.
No.
What's that ever done for anyone?
Nothing.
Oh, starving children in Africa. What can you do with the Vision? I can walk through this wall.
To get food?
Nah, I just walk through a wall.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, no, it's not a trade-off at all.
Yeah. Mm. There's a few people who've taken on the Ant-Man role as well, or his powers,
uh-huh.
or variations of his powers.
Yep.
But I'm just going to talk about the other two main ones.
Okay.
Scott Lang is obviously the one Paul Rudd's playing.
The main man.
The main man.
Mm.
Now, I think Paul Rudd suits this character more because basically in the comics, he's done some time for burglary.
Just like Paul Rudd.
Just like Paul Rudd. And he stole the Ant-Man technology. Just like Paul Rudd. To save his daughter, just like Paul Rudd.
In fact, that's how Edgar Wright hired him. Because Edgar Wright's like, I'll do this test footage and I'll just leave the Ant-Man suit over here. And then he came in late at night and Paul Rudd was there just picking through all the stealing the suit. And he's like, you'd be perfect for this.
You're the best.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Hank Pym basically let him keep it.
Which is weird, right? Like, imagine if somebody... Because I think he stole the suit originally because his daughter was...
He needed his specific doctor to help his daughter.
Yeah, who's been kidnapped. And he's like, well, I've got a bloody, you know, rescue. I'll use the Ant-Man suit. That's kind of like if somebody stole your car.
Yeah.
And... He's like, well, I've got to save my daughter. And you're like, you know what? You can have my car. Get your own car. Look, I'm glad it worked out for you, but get your own car.
I'm sure Hank Pym has plenty of cars, though.
That's a good point, actually. Yeah,
still.
Yeah. Yeah, pretty great.
I mean, because he's retired. Hank Pym's retired the role a few times as well.
Yeah.
So maybe it was in that period of his life where he was like, I'm as old as Michael Douglas.
That's a good point.
Step in, somebody
else. I'm going to enjoy my life, if you know what I mean.
Michael Douglas style. Yeah.
Yeah.
Basically, though, he's been through a bit. He died, and his daughter went back in... Cassandra, I think her name is? I might be wrong on that.
It's Cassie, yeah.
Cassie, yeah. She went back in time and basically brought him back to the present.
She's got the same powers as him.
Yeah,
as
she
well.
Does. That was one of the ones I was referring
there
to.
There you go.
Though she doesn't wear the helmet.
No.
Another one, which more got, recent one,
yep.
Eric O'Grady.
Oh, actually, I was going to say with Scott Lang, because I couldn't really remember what he did, like, prior to going to prison, and so I looked it up.
Right.
He's just an electronics expert, and he couldn't make ends meet as an electronics expert. I'm doing finger quotes. What does that mean? Does he work in a Radio Shack?
I guess, yeah. I think maybe he's got I think he might have a degree or a background in that, I don't know.
Well, that would make him an expert, wouldn't it?
It sure would. Would or wouldn't?
No, it would.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
You're right.
Both of us are right. My previous statement.
That's all right.
Yep. Eric O'Grady.
Yep.
He most recently made famous by his run in Irredeemable Ant-Man.
Yeah. Although when you think about it, Hank Pym's more the Irredeemable Ant-Man.
I know, right? Because
of the kind of the wound punching.
Like, Eric O'Grady's not a great guy.
Well, he's a pervert. Yeah. Certainly. He should be called the perverted Ant-Man.
Because he spends most
Peeping of... Tom Ant-Man.
Most of that, there's two, not two issues, there's two volumes that you can get. Basically where he tries to sleep with his best friend's girlfriend.
Yep.
I won't spoil what happens in all that whole thing. Yeah, if you haven't read it, you should read it.
It's a good one.
Not you in particular. Have you read it?
Yeah.
Then you don't need to read it.
Well, maybe I'll read it again.
Not allowed to. Oh. You got to watch the rest of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Then you can watch Ant-Man.
Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., the Brussels sprout of comic book media. Boo. I don't want to.
Basically, though, he fights crime kind of when it's convenient or when he's forced to.
Right.
Like, he's like, shit, I better do this because people are watching.
Uh-huh.
But yeah, and mostly he just spies on women in the shower, though.
Great.
Like, it's a bit where he goes on a date and the woman's like, get out of here, Ant-Man. Uh-huh. And he leaves and he comes back and just watches her shower. Uh-huh. He watches Ms. Marvel shower.
Yep.
Like, it's a whole thing. It's a recurring thing.
He's got a real problem.
Yeah, ultimately. And in other issues.
He's the worst possible person to have acquired those powers.
Yeah. And then he basically...
But ultimately, I think any power would have enabled him to do that.
Yeah.
Like invisibility, clairvoyance,
yeah.
Flight, doesn't matter.
Super strength.
Just punch through a wall. Just watch a woman in a shower. Yeah.
But look, he's not, apparently though, well, not apparently, he's not all bad. He does have some, despite the title, some redeeming qualities.
Right.
But he's dead at the moment also, I think.
He is dead, so, yes. Yeah.
But he's all right though, isn't he?
Well, in comic book terms, he's all right because you can't kill him.
No.
Although, legacy heroes you kind of can kill.
But they'll eventually bring him back, I'd
imagine.
Yeah,
definitely, yeah. Uh-huh.
There's a myriad of ways you can bring somebody back. Mm. Yeah. Just like real life.
Hey, have they revealed how Agent Coulson came back from the dead yet?
Yes.
I just saw some stills and they're tweaking his brain.
But they didn't reveal it. They kind of like, this is what they were doing.
Still.
Yeah. But people are like, great explanation. I'm like, they didn't explain it at all.
Because they're just,
they're
like,
just poking,
they're
in his
poking
brain.
His brain, right? Exactly.
And they were wiping his memories or whatever. But it also seems to me, looks like that they were kind of, they may have been also keeping him alive by firing...
Oh, like, things into his brain, okay.
I don't know. I don't care, to be honest.
Yeah. It's probably magic. It's got to be magic. Probably Loki.
Magic. Yeah.
They would get Hiddleston involved. He would do it. He'd do it. He cameo, would. Right?
He's a good sport.
Okay, I'm back on board. If Hiddleston does an episode, I'm back on board. But until then, no. I'm calling you out, Hiddleston. Nicest man in Hollywood. You prick.
Yeah. Well, I think as well, the show's got to a point where they have to let people know what's coming up in the future so people stay watching.
Uh-huh.
They're like, Sif's coming, please watch.
Right, exactly.
Sif will be in it. So if he's going to be in it, I'm sure we'll know about it.
Mm.
He's got powers. Do you want me to talk about his powers?
Yes.
So basically, his powers stem from his discovery of Pym particles.
Ugh.
And which basically can change the size of a person.
Person
or object.
Oh,
does that make more sense?
Yes.
Good. Initially it was a liquid.
Okay, great.
You pour onto things or whatever.
Fantastic. Great.
Next it was a gas, and I think they're using gas in the movie because in the Ant-Man footage it looks like he's wearing a gas mask.
Okay, yeah.
I might be wrong. Then it went to a pill.
Uh-huh.
And then if you've got it long enough in your body.
Don't do drugs, kids.
Don't do drugs.
14-year-old listener, don't do drugs.
Now I feel like if there's young people listening, I can't like.
That's in your head.
That's in my
You're
head.
In your head.
Yeah. He'll be fine.
You'll be fine.
What were we like at 14? We were doing karate.
You were doing all sorts of karate.
Skateboard tricks. Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, after long-term exposure.
Malt shop. Anyway, it doesn't matter.
Malt shop, yeah. Basically, if you're exposed to Pym particles for long enough, they naturally occur in your body.
That's so vague.
Yeah, why not?
Does that happen with anything else in the universe?
If you drink enough urine, you'll start producing your own urine.
That's true.
That?
Yeah.
Now it can put
you eat too many potato chips, you'll turn into a potato chip, mate.
That's
what
it.
My mum always said.
Is she right?
Nah.
Yeah. Now it can put a strain on your body though, not just physically, but
potato chips.
Yeah, absolutely.
Turning into a potato chip.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It could put a strain on your body, resulting in a mental breakdown. Which
that
is
happened.
What happened?
Yeah.
What has happened. Do you want to know how they actually work though? Because I know you've got an idea of it, but do you want to hear what I've?
I think
of...
I do know how they.
Do you want to talk about it? Or do you want me to talk about
don't
it?
Don't they put your Don't they put all your excess mass in an alternate dimension?
Exactly.
That's
yeah.
so...
And then retrieve it.
Right.
Or take
Or get
mass.
Additional mass.
Or get additional
yeah.
mass.
Okay.
Yeah.
How does the pill know where to put the additional mass?
I don't know, man.
That's a really good point.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's. I guess it's more interesting than just shrinking.
It's, yeah,
I mean,
right.
it makes more sense.
No,
it doesn't make more sense.
It doesn't make any sense. None of these things make any
no,
sense.
No, you're right.
But don't try and find sense in this.
I think it's interesting, though.
Yeah.
Now, I actually messaged you this week because I couldn't find a definitive answer.
I think I gave you bad intel.
Did you?
Yeah.
Okay, so it's basically how small can he get?
Yeah.
And you said he can't get microscopic. And I found a few things to back that up.
But I think because I've since caught up on Future Foundation,
yeah,
which is the Fantastic Four spin-off.
Yep.
And Scott Lang is in that.
Yeah.
And he goes in the Microverse.
Okay, there you go.
Which is sort of but I think that's the Microverse is sort of an invention. It's like a part of the Marvel Universe. When they had the license for the Micronauts, which were like shrinky, this toy line,
yeah.
And they don't have that anymore. So I guess they were like, well, we can't use the Micronauts. Who else shrinks?
Yep.
Ant-Man. Let's do it. And so now he can shrink sub-microscopic. So
okay, there you go.
Yeah.
Because it started as he can be as big as an ant, which I assume is where the name came from. Like a quarter of an inch or whatever. But traditionally, he couldn't go as small. I think use the example. He couldn't go as small as the atom.
Yeah.
The atom who can, like, ride a particle of light.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Like, through basically anything, because anything that light can travel through or whatever, like a force field or whatever.
Uh-huh.
I was going to say, he can get about as big as 100 feet.
Okay.
Generally.
That's not very impressive.
No.
No, it is.
The interesting thing is, though, well, it's not necessarily interesting, but it's a thing.
I put this, you're all in your head now.
I am, I know.
It's me going, that's not very impressive.
I know.
Now you're like, is it impressive?
Well, Mason, tell me it's not. But basically...
Anyway, what's impressive to you?
He gets... as he gets small, he retains his strength.
Yeah.
So if you get hit by Ant-Man, when he's small, it's like getting hit with a pretty fit, full-grown man.
Yeah.
So that hurts. But when he gets bigger, though, the mass means that he's got more... He can lift more. Mm. So at his maximum size, he can go anywhere between, you know, the smallest he can get to about 100 feet. It can be anything between that. Uh-huh. As long as his costume doesn't bust and his balls hang out.
But, how embarrassing.
I know.
Yeah.
But, I was going to say. But, and his strength increases, so he can lift about 100 ton. But it's nothing like, say, your Hulk or your Thor or whatever.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, it's pretty good, I guess.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, right?
Yeah.
It's also slow when he's bigger.
Just give up, man.
I think you can do more with the small than the big, though.
Example.
Think? We can
certainly perving. That's
there you go. That's the best example. Yep, exactly. What else do you want?
Case closed.
Yeah, but you know, it's you can infiltrate and whatever, and you could still take out a room full of guys.
Uh-huh.
I mean, you can do that as a big guy, but you can kind of do it
just squish up. The room.
Just squish the room. Yeah, but yeah. Now he's also got a helmet which can communicate with insects.
Useless.
Well, he uses it to disable computers. He can. He's done that and blind his enemies. And. You know
how else he could blind his enemies? Grow 100 feet tall, punch their eyes out. Oh, you mean temporarily blind them?
Temporarily, okay, right.
Yeah.
But yeah, he's also got a voice amplifier on that mask as well, so if he's smaller, he could be like, hey, dickhead!
I'm over here.
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah. But look, different Ant-Men have like different things as well. Like some have robotic arms. I think the latest suit, whatever, the irredeemable one has robotic
he's
arms.
He's got robot arms, sure.
Jetpack.
Robot.
He's got like a gun thing in some versions.
Guns are pretty sweet.
In the old one, he's got like an unbreakable rope. So he'd be tiny and be like, and he could like, there's a picture.
He could lasso something.
Yeah, where he's like lassoing a guy and he's like swinging him around in a circle.
Yeah.
No, but on the three main Ant-Men anyway, their physical abilities are pretty similar.
Uh-huh.
Like Hank Pym is an expert at judo!
Judo? Is that really his martial art?
That's his martial art.
Great.
Yeah. But, They've all got basic hand-to-hand training, I guess.
Yep.
Well, not more than basic. Like, Scott Lang, I've been in prison. I'm sure he's got some prison shivving skills.
He'll make a shiv. Sure, yeah. He'll make a shiv.
That's it. Scott Lang was a...
He can sharpen up a toothbrush.
Yeah, that's right.
Stab a guy with it.
What was his name? Eric O'Grady was a... he's a S.H.I.E.L.D. agent.
Uh-huh.
So he would have had some sort of basic level of training.
Yep.
So there you go. The intellects, though, they vary quite dramatically.
Boy, do they.
Yeah. Hank Pym obviously being the smartest. What did we talk about? He's got the AI, he's got the Pym particles. Though Reed Richards once said that he knew more about Pym particles than Hank Pym.
Well.
So there you go.
Bit rude.
Yeah, I thought so. Lang is an expert at electronics. And O'Grady.
So vague.
Yeah, I know, right? O'Grady. He's got like average intelligence, but he's quite wily.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and he's got the most advanced Ant-Man suit. Well, at the time when that came out anyway.
Mm.
So he's got that advantage over. He's got street smarts.
He does have street smarts.
And street sharks.
Uh-huh.
Now, this is where it gets really interesting, Mason.
We'll see.
Villains. Ant-Man villains.
There's no Ant-Man villains.
Ultron.
Name one.
Ultron.
Doesn't count.
Okay,
he's an
you're
Avengers
right.
villain.
I'll put this in my video as well. The most interesting ones.
Is it a swarm of ants that he can't control with his ant powers for some reason?
Yes.
He's like, I'm trapped with ant. I'm sure there's dozens and dozens of Ant-Man, like, front covers or whatever.
Yeah.
where he's just being attacked by swarms of ants. Yeah. He's like, my ant pals aren't controlling these ants. What'll I do? I know, I'll grow to a normal size and I'll be fine.
I'll be fine, yeah. Eric, there's an Eric O'Grady life model decoy.
Correct.
He's evil.
Yep.
Egghead.
Egghead. But not the good egghead that we all know.
Not the DC's egghead. I mentioned that in the video
as
well.
Vincent Price's egghead.
Yeah. But he's, a lot of time he goes up to...
I really wish, and I may have mentioned this before, when Dark Knight Rises came out, that it turned out, what's his name? Tom Hardy was playing Egghead.
Yeah.
Because they never mentioned in the previews, they never say, here comes Bane or whatever.
That's true, yeah.
What if it was Egghead? It looks more like Egghead.
He does look like
Egghead. That would be so good. I would have seen that movie 10,000 times by now.
As opposed to the one that you saw it?
Yes.
The ones that you saw. You seen that movie once?
Probably.
Yeah.
Once or twice.
Yeah. Look, but he faces, like, organizations like AIM and Hydra and people like that. And, you know, when he's in the Avengers, he fights whatever the Marvel villain is that week.
Uh-huh.
So they kind of
rely on Ultron.
Sometimes Ultron. They rely on that more than his rogues gallery, because his rogues gallery is pretty shit.
Nobody's got a good rogues gallery.
Except for Batman.
Batman and Spider-Man. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Superman's is all right.
It's all right.
Fantastic Four, it's got Doom. Pretty much just Doom. Well, you got
Doom, it's got Annihilus, Galactus.
Oh, yeah, Galactus, there you go.
Yeah, yeah, okay. Yeah, it's pretty much Spider-Man.
Yeah.
That's where all the art budget went. Yeah.
Well, Hank Pym also, he was pro...
One might say that Henry Pym is his own worst enemy.
Oh,
yeah.
I didn't even think of that.
Yeah.
I was going to say his own worst enemy were also half of the Avengers.
That's a really good point.
Do you remember that Pro Superhero Registration Act?
Boy, do I.
Yeah, he sided with Tony Stark and being...
A bit rude.
Being for the Registration Act.
Uh-huh.
And basically, these are his contributions to the Civil War
storyline. I know where this
line.
Is going, but
yeah, yep. So basically, he helped create a Thor clone.
I remember that.
Which killed Goliath.
Robot Thor, yep. Uh-huh.
Which accidentally killed Goliath because it was a psychopath causing Spider-Man to switch sides. Bunch of other guys.
Hammer through the head, if I recall.
No, I think it was blasted through the chest. Right. And Sue Storm left Reed Richards to switch sides because of this cybernetic clone of Thor. Who I think is then killed by Hercules.
Yep.
I think. Then, at the end of it, at some point along the line, he was replaced by Hulkling, who's a shapeshifter.
Uh-huh, yep.
And so he's off captured somewhere or knocked out or whatever, I can't remember. And Hulkling, as Hank Pym, disables all the security guards to the negative zone prison where all the superheroes are being kept that are against registration.
Hmm.
And then the big fight breaks out. So those were his contributions.
What an asshole.
And then he was named Man of the Year by Time magazine for technological advances during the events of the Civil War in the Marvel Universe. He's Man of the Year.
That's weird.
Yeah.
What you'd have to do is presumably you have to go to the real Time magazine and say, hey, we're going to feature you in this comic book.
Yeah.
We're going to make the Man of the Year a wife beater who created some sort of horrific technological magical being that murders people and results in the deaths of hundreds. Can he be Man of the Year? And they're like, whatever.
Yeah, sure.
It's comic books.
We're knee-deep in Walter Mitty. So
yeah,
we
don't even care. Yeah. You know what happens at the end of Walter Mitty? After the credits?
What?
Nick Fury shows up and he gets Walter Mitty to join the Avengers. Because he's got his imagination powers.
They just need a guy...
do that for every movie now.
Okay, good. Yeah. Yeah. They just need a guy who can tune out for long periods of time.
Yeah, exactly. Great. Works against mind control.
Yeah,
He's not paying attention.
Now, Edgar Wright has mentioned that this... Well, he's tweeted a picture from an episode of Avengers Earth Mightiest Heroes with the Ant-Man suit being stolen. And that episode, which is episode, I can't remember, I think it's five or six. The story is that Scott Lang steals the suit to get money to save his kidnapped daughter.
There we go.
So I'm assuming, that is roughly the story.
Okay.
So, which would then bring the two Ant-Men together. And that's also the first appearance of Luke Cage and Iron Fist in that particular TV show.
Okay.
Which could also, I don't know, they could actually bring them in for their own shows are starting.
Yeah.
Their own shows are starting next year. So maybe they could tie that in possibly at some point.
I hope so.
Yeah. Now, it's said to involve a team up between the two Ant-Men. This is all about the Ant-Men movie.
Okay,
right. Did I tell you that?
No.
Did I mention that? Yeah. There's no strict villain, apparently. It's all about the technology.
Well, at least it doesn't have one.
Yeah.
So.
Well, the villain, like, being a result of the technology, they said. It's a heist film.
Ooh.
A crime action genre.
Ooh.
That happens to have an amazing piece of hardware.
Yeah,
technology.
Okay.
And some say that Michael Douglas could be the villain.
Michael Douglas, the actor.
Douglas, the actor.
Right.
Will fight Hank Pym as Michael Douglas.
Interesting.
I mean, Michael Douglas as Hank Pym.
Interesting.
Yeah. Do you think people, if that was the case...
Yep.
Like, I'd imagine it'd be like an Obadiah Stane situation in the first Iron Man.
Yep.
Because that's what they're saying. He's saying that we want to make it similar to Iron Man in that sense.
Uh-huh.
And Obadiah Stane is a result of the Iron Man technology. The difference being Obadiah Stane was always a villain. Hank Pym has kind of briefly dabbled in villainy. Yeah. Uh-huh. Not intentionally.
Yeah.
Do you think people would accept
that? But
certainly
not well.
No.
I think, like, I'm a big fan of the heist movie generally.
Yeah.
I hope that it's a better transition to villainy than it was in Iron Man, which I enjoy, but he does just go crazy for no reason.
Really. Yeah.
He's like, he puts the suit on, he's like, I'm going to murder everyone in the world. Why wouldn't I?
He was already selling stuff, wasn't he, at
the
start?
Yeah,
so. Yeah, but you're right, though. There's a very severe, like, shifted tone.
You can get away with arms dealing. You can't really get away with... first-hand murder of people in a giant metal suit.
You're right.
Yeah, I love a good heist movie. Yeah. I'm on board with that.
Do you think...
I hope there will be more. We talked about Super Crooks. I think we have.
Yeah.
Which the super villain heist movie. That'd be great.
Yeah.
Also, I'd like to see... we talked about there might be a Sinister Six movie or something.
Yeah, like, well, I think that's film. where it came out. Where you said make it like a Super Crooks.
Yeah, because Marvel Max, which was their sort of... more mature age.
How many X's are on Max?
Just the one.
Damn it.
I know, right? They've gone with simplicity. There was a series called The Hood, and he sort of became a big-time sort of Marvel crime villain. He was just this kind of...
The Hood.
Yeah, he's sort of a thug, and he just a generic thug, and he found a magical hood that gave him superpowers. And there was this sort of mini-series where all these villains were out to kill him, and it was really... It was all villains, and it was great fun, so...
What's that called?
The Hood.
I'm going to check it out.
You should.
Yeah. Mm.
That wasn't really going anywhere, but I just wanted to get that thought out.
I'm reading some Daredevil at the moment. The head and the hood's in it.
Yeah,
it's good stuff. Do you know any good Ant-Man stories that we could recommend to our listening people?
Well, probably all the great ones from the 60s where he's just...
Well, I put them here.
Just
right?
Where he's just fighting ants. He's like, the ants! I can't stop the ants! How will I stop my ants controlling helmet isn't working? Ugh. But... We had a thought there. I have some others, but...
Well, there's Tales of the... I put these down. I haven't read these, and I never will, but these are the first appearance. The first appearance of Ant-Man is in something called Tales to Astonish, number 27.
Uh-huh.
And that's for... And the Scott Lang is Marvel Premiere 47.
Uh-huh.
And that was from 1979, that one.
Right.
So you can go back and read them.
Don't, though.
To read the origins, no. But do you want me to go through mine, and then you go through yours?
I was just going to say that if you want some... If you want some stories where people just speak all their exposition, then maybe listen. I'm going to use my ant powers. I'm going to shrink to a tiny size. This is his thought. This is his thoughts. I'm going to use my pim particles to shrink down to a tiny size.
Sometimes they say it out loud, though.
Yeah, sometimes they just say it out loud. Yeah. And there's like a female character who's a nurse or something. He's like, oh, he's so brave. That's a thought, but he's so brave for shrinking down. Well, I don't know. I find that the primary... there's a lot of good stories that have Ant-Man... featured in them.
Yes.
But not necessarily solo stuff. Alias,
agreed.
For example.
Yep.
He's in. He's never really Ant-Man in it, but Scott Lang is dating at one point Jessica Jones in the series Alias, which is just a fantastic series generally.
Yeah.
I think we've mentioned it before, but if you haven't
I've not read that. So,
pretty fantastic.
Yeah,
so get into it.
Yeah.
What else? Oh, and also, as I said, I've caught up on Future Foundation.
Yeah.
Which, start that from the start. It's sort of it's a spin-off of Fantastic Four.
Mm-hmm.
And it's sort of Reed Richards is sort of dissatisfied with, you know, maybe what the Fantastic Four is doing, saving the world. He feels he could be doing more, so he sets up the Future Foundation.
More stretching,
certainly. But it's more of a scientific think tank. They get into adventures, but like Spider-Man's in it and Doctor Doom and Christoph and all these.
What year did this start, roughly? 1962?
Yeah, 1962. It's been running parallel with the actual Fantastic Four for 50 years. It's weird that nobody ever mentions it. What are these, 2000, quite recently,
okay,
2009
cool.
or something.
I'm gonna check that out.
Maybe even later than that.
All right.
It's really good, really solid, and I think Matt Fraction is writing it currently, and he's a great writer.
So, is he?
Yeah, it's good.
You met him?
No. One day.
Matt Fraction.
Yes.
That's a great name.
Sounds like
a
fake name.
It does. Yeah. Well, look, this one isn't a comic, but if you check out that, I've written down the Earth's Mightiest Heroes episode, which that story may be based on.
Mm-hmm.
It's episode 5.
Ugh.
But Hank Pym does...
Someone's got egg on their face.
That's
you.
It, I know. But Hank Pym, though, I haven't seen a lot of that series.
Uh-huh.
My brother, I think I mentioned last week as well, said he really enjoys it. It's cancelled now, but which a lot of people weren't happy about. But Hank Pym is a recurring character through that. And my brother says that the interpretation of that, he's really, really interesting and a really good character in that. Irredeemable Ant-Man, we mentioned.
That's fun.
Is pretty good. Uh-huh. Now, what's interesting about that is that's written by Robert Kirkman, who did The Walking Dead.
Yeah. And Invincible. Your favorite.
That's what, I love Invincible. Mm. I'd love to see that one day. It's never going to happen.
No.
But it's definitely more tonally, and it's more like Invincible than it is Walking Dead, obviously. Yeah, yeah. It's kind of wacky and hijinks and, you know, kind of tongue-in-cheek and whatever. So, yeah, it's definitely a good read. I haven't read this one. But it's called Ant-Man Season 1. You know, the Season 1 kind of retelling kind of series
okay,
that they
right.
did.
Oh, okay, yeah.
It's basically, it's a retelling of his origin. So if you want to know anything about...
When did that come out? Recently?
Yeah, recently-ish.
Oh, okay, right.
They did a whole bunch of
them. So it's sort of a tie-in.
Yeah.
Did they get a whole bunch of future movie Marvel properties and...
Probably.
Chuck them out there?
Yeah, probably. There's a Thor one and I think there's a bunch of other ones. Mm. But apparently it's not great, but I think if you wanted to read an Ant-Man Origins... That might be the one to go with.
I mean, we've covered it all, obviously.
We sure have.
In a professional manner.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ant-Man and the Wasp, which I just read this week.
Oh, yeah, which is his...
which is Hank Pym teaming up with Eric O'Grady.
Hmm.
And they basically need to save... Like, Hank Pym has created heaven.
Okay.
Because he doesn't believe it to exist.
Right.
And Eric O'Grady does for
wow, he's
reason.
Got another...
He's got another...
Heaven architecture. That's yeah, another I know, skills. Right?
Wow. And basically Goliath, who was killed in Civil War, is in this version of heaven.
Yeah.
And it's about, and it's been stolen and for whatever reason. It's a good read. It's not amazing, but it's okay.
Okay.
It's pretty good. Civil War, I mentioned.
Yep.
He's not in that a lot, but he's, Civil War's, if you want to get a really brief general idea
there's
of
There's a lot to
characters,
get into Civil War. That was a years long kind of saga.
And there's all sorts of spin-off.
There's no way to chip into that, I don't think.
But no, I think you can read Civil War on its own as a standalone. I've got a copy of it. If you want to borrow it, you can't.
Oh. Good. Didn't want to.
But that, there's a bit of Ant-Man kind of stuff in that. Not a hell of a lot. Mm. Like you said, the kind of big, you know, Ant-Man stories are usually him with somebody else.
Yep.
And lastly, Age of Ultron. Which is kind of an obvious one. Mm-hmm. But he doesn't feature heavily in it. But he obviously...
Just him at the start, one first panel, just going, whoops. Sorry, folks.
Like, he is in it, and it's, it involves time travel, so it's...
At least I didn't hit my wife this time. Ugh.
Yet.
Yep.
But it's, you know, time travel and whatever and all that kind of stuff. And he is in it. He's in it quite a bit. He's kind of more towards the middle and towards the end. So, and there's a lot of people talking about Hank Pym and... the reasons why he's the worst and whatever. There's a lot of that.
Yep.
So read that. Also, if you want to get a night, or you know, if you want to know a bit more about Ultron as well for the upcoming movie, that's a good one to read as well. Mm-hmm. Again, not really a Hank Pym story, but features cool. It's a lot of Wolverine in that one, actually.
They'd like to add in a lot of Wolverine.
Yeah. That's pretty much it, Mason.
We did it.
We did it.
We did it once again. Yeah. Who knew we'd pull it out again?
You didn't have your flip out.
I didn't have my flip out. Hang on, what can I get angry about?
Judy Dench's Mon Mothma?
No. I'll save it up.
All right, good.
Yeah, it's going to be great.
Episode 20.
Yeah.
Yeah. Multiples of four.
That's the one.
If you'd like to hit us up, get in contact with us, we've been getting some lovely emails and tweets and text messages.
We haven't been getting any text messages.
Zero text messages.
I mean, we have, but from friends and acquaintances.
Who don't watch the show.
Who don't listen to the podcast at all. Yeah, yeah, yeah. But other stuff, like, hey, do you want to go to the movies?
Yeah.
Or, hey, do you want to get lunch or something?
Yeah. And we're like, no.
Yeah.
Because we've got podcasts.
We've got podcasts to do.
But if you do want to get in contact with us, weeklyplanetpod @gmail, on Twitter, Facebook page.
Yes.
Check that out. That'll keep you updated. But if you really want to follow us in particular, mine is Mr. Sunday Movies on Twitter and Facebook and my YouTube channel.
Mine's @WikipediaBrown on Twitter. I don't really tweet, though. I apologize for never actually tweeting when people have been nice enough to follow me. I don't.
Cool.
I'll get to that, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool. So, yeah, like the best way, if you want to keep in contact, email us on the Weekly Planet thing or hit us up on Twitter is the best way to do that. And again, thank you to the people who did the iTunes thing. And if you want to also do that, please do, because it would really help the show in a big way.
In some vague way that we really don't.
I don't understand how iTunes works.
But everybody says that at the end of a podcast. Like, this would really help us if you subscribe and we're just repeating that.
I guess so. It can't hurt, can it?
What if we keep doing this and then just... a guy from Apple shows up with like a big check, like a big novelty check one day. Then we'll know we've made it.
Who's the CEO of Apple currently?
Steve Jobs.
Oh,
Zombie Steve Jobs.
Oh, okay, that's good. Yeah,
he's back. He's in a big way.
All right, well, I'm going to go watch Rick and Morty. Have you seen Rick and Morty, show?
I've heard it's good,
It's such a fucking good show.
Free on YouTube?
Yeah, it is. It's free on, if you guys want to watch a kind of cool, kind of new sci-fi show, it's Dan Harmon and another guy, the guy who did Community, created the show. And it's so strange and funny. It's great.
All right.
It's kind of like Remember when Futurama came out and was like, this is the weirdest fucking thing I've ever seen. In like the early 2000s. It's like that, but like now.
Huh.
It's so bizarre and so
interesting.
Funny. Yeah. So definitely check that out.
I will.
Thank you to Gabriel Bruton for the theme song as
the
well.
Brute.
The Brute!
He's great.
Yeah, what a good guy. Thanks, everyone. Next week, we're going to talk about...
probably...
Michael Douglas's sexual prowess.
Yeah, oh boy. Is an hour going to be enough? Who knows? Yeah.
All right. Thanks, guys.
See ya. Bye.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.